The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus took Peter, James, John, and James and went up the mountain to pray. While he was praying, his face changed in appearance and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were conversing with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions had been overcome by sleep, but becoming fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As they were about to part from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But he did not know what he was saying. While he was still speaking, a cloud came and cast a shadow over them, and they became frightened when they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my chosen son. Listen to him." After the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They fell silent and did not at that time tell anyone what they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord.
Several years ago now, when I was a deacon, 6 years ago that is, I was on a pilgrimage with my deacon classmates from Mount St. Mary's Seminary, and we went to the Holy Land. As part of the trip, we spent 3 weeks in the Holy Land. The first 2 weeks were spent at the Sea of Galilee, and 1 week in Jerusalem. Of the 2 weeks spent in Galilee, the second week was our canonical retreat, which the church asks all men who are preparing for the sacrament of holy orders to spend a week-long retreat preparing for the diaconate and priesthood. During this retreat, we had the opportunity to travel back to several holy sites from the Mount of Beatitudes, Magdala, Peter's Primacy, Multiplication of Loaves, Mount Tabor, and many others. Some sites were within walking distance, which made it convenient, while others required a cab ride. One day during the retreat, a few of us decided to go back to Mount Tabor, to the Church of the Transfiguration. We had most of the day free, so we took a 45-minute cab ride to this amazingly beautiful holy site. The day was, from our understanding, not your typical January sort of weather in Galilee. It was almost like a spring day, kind of like what we're going to have this week, with few clouds here and there in the sky, the sun shining brightly, and the temperature hovered around 70 degrees. Not bad for a retreat day. I was thrilled to be able to have that because not all of our stay was around that temperature. We drove up the steep and winding road that took us to the front of the Church of the Transfiguration. We could have walked. It would take a couple hours. Time wasn't on our side, but I took Father Sean's advice. Why walk when you can drive? In all its vastness and beauty, built of stone that reminds you of Indiana limestone, with twin bell towers on either side of the front doors. Inside the church, had a cool feeling as the air blew through the open doors and the echoes of any sound reverberating in your ears like standing in the magnificence of a cathedral. It was awesome and breathtaking. I thought to myself how grateful I am to be here this afternoon on retreat to first be in the presence of our Lord and also to be able to be at the very site to pray in the location of Jesus' transfiguration. As you enter the church, there are two levels of the sanctuary area. The lower level has a chapel with an altar of sacrifice built upon the rocky structure of Mount Tabor. The rock, as you can see through sections of the sanctuary floor, is the highest point where tradition holds and believes that Jesus was transfigured. Above the lower level chapel is a second level with another chapel with a beautiful marble altar. It's almost as you would envision a double decker chapel, one on top of the other, but separate. The apse or dome-like structure above the upper altar is a mosaic in that dome of the transfiguration. Jesus' face shining like the sun, and his clothes as white as light. Moses and Elijah on either side of him, as Peter, James, and John are looking up at the transfigured Jesus, who chose them to be eyewitnesses of this event. Christ's transfiguration is a foretaste of the kingdom of heaven. As the disciples were standing around in what may have seemed to be the lobby next door to heaven, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them with a voice saying from above, "This is my chosen son. Listen to him. Listen to him." The shadow of the cloud is a revelation throughout salvation history that God manifests a bond with humanity that cannot be broken, or rather that God will not allow it to stay unbroken. The cloud is particularly connected with worship in the temple. Its presence is that which rested on the tabernacle from the book of Exodus, manifesting the visible glory of God. On Mount Tabor, Jesus' transfiguration is a sign of hope for the disciples. In this manifestation of his glory and the words of affirmation from God the Father, Jesus' identity is made very clear. "This is my chosen son. Listen to him." He is the Messiah, the long-awaited Savior, the one who is greater than all of the religious leaders of Israel. If Jesus is all that he says he is, then why did he tell his disciples before the transfiguration that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised? Knowing that when this time would come, and if the disciples did not know Jesus was to suffer and die for our salvation, then hearing the shouts on Good Friday, "Crucify him, crucify him," would be way too much for the disciples to hear. But Jesus prepared his disciples, telling them multiple times about what his destiny was, that he would go and he would die and he would be raised. So too, this glorious event of the transfiguration is one where Jesus is preparing his disciples to listen to him. Many, many, many times have his disciples been called by Jesus and they listened. Jesus called them from their boats to come follow him. They dropped their nets to came to follow him. They heard Jesus at the Mount of Beatitudes proclaiming the Beatitudes, the discipleship, the pathway of discipleship. They heard Jesus speak to them along those long, dusty routes, hearing his voice, prepping their hearts for the ultimate sacrifice taking place, not on Mount Tabor, but on the Mount of Calvary. That is why the transfiguration of our Lord and the voice from heaven was for the disciples. It was for you and me. The voice heard from heaven testifies to the unbroken and undivided union of God the Father and God the Son. The tense that Peter speaks of, he first speaks to Jesus and says, "Lord, it is good that we are here. It is good that we are here." And two of the major prophets, Moses and Elijah, are seen at that very moment in front of Peter, James, and John. Peter wanted to build these booths. He wanted to take up real estate at that moment because they saw before their very eyes this glorified Jesus, the magnificence that transcends all of our understanding, because he wanted to relish in that moment. He wanted it not to leave. It is in this very moment of the transfiguration that our Lord preps his disciples, Peter, James, and John, for not to see his glorified body, but for, in the midst of going to Calvary, seeing his bloody body, they would recall his glorified body. And also seeing Jesus taken down from the cross, beaten, broken, and bloody, wrapped in a cloth in darkness when he died, to recall that time of the transfiguration where Jesus was clothed, his clothes were dazzling white. Our Lord is prepping us. He's calling us, and as an invitation to experience the transfiguration daily. Brothers and sisters, there are so many things going on in the world. So many things, especially the conflict and the violence taking place between Russia and Ukraine. And we see the Ukrainian people fighting for their lives. It makes so much sense that our penances during Lent seem to have so much more depth when we're offering it more intently for someone who is drastically in need. It's always that. The Ukrainian people are courageous, and we've seen that in their fight. Part of the Eastern Christian spirituality, the very core of that, is the transfiguration. It's very central to their spirituality. And so it makes complete sense where they get their courage. They get their courage from Christ alone to fight, because they know that this life isn't all what we're living for. It is that foretaste of heaven, the new heavenly Jerusalem, to be with God forever. And so we don't ascend to that Mount of Tabor. We ascend to the altar of God, where Jesus is present to us in the most holy Eucharist. It is under the accidents of bread and wine that Jesus becomes present, body, blood, soul, and divinity to us, so that he can take up real estate within the booth of our own heart when we consume the Eucharist, so that we may be able to want, as Peter did, to say, "Lord, it is good that we are here," because the Lord calls us from the comforts of our home to come here in worship. Yes, it takes exertion to get ready. It takes exertion, moms and dads, it takes exertion and energy to get everybody, all the kids together. It takes exertion for me to answer Father Sean's phone calls early of a morning. I kind of share with you in some regards. But that exertion is for us to come and to be in the simple presence of the Lord, where he calls us to commune with him, to be in this place of serenity and peace, to be able to receive him, just as Peter, James, and John did, to be able to know that transfigured Lord is the transfigured Lord that comes before us today at Mass. At every Mass, we encounter Jesus, truly, who he truly is and what he is all about. It is for us to invite Jesus into our hearts as we ascend to that mountaintop experience to the altar of God and to receive him in the most holy Eucharist. It is Jesus who gives us strength, who nourishes us, gives us courage to go about our daily lives in whatever we face. Brothers and sisters, may we be aware that we are on the mountain, the altar of God, seeing the real, true Jesus Christ, just as he was glorified before Peter, James, and John. He takes up not only that space, that booth space with them, but he takes that booth space within our hearts. God love you.